Boy, they make that thing so small. And my fingers are so stiff. But anyhow, to our visiting friends this morning, we want to say thank you for joining us. It is a joy to have you with us. And I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53 with me. And one of my problems, the older I have gotten in the Lord, and have tried to, as a saved man, by the way, today is my spiritual birthday. 45 years ago, I know I only look like I'm 16, but 45 years ago, I walked in with a new wife and a new baby boy, and I walked into the Baptist church that I had always attended from the age of 3. So at the age of 20, I did what we always did. I mean, you know, I was a churchgoer, by the way. I wasn't. That didn't mean I didn't get in trouble, but I was a troublemaker churchgoer. Okay. So just like some of you maybe are your churchgoers. Okay. And but I walked in that morning. It was Easter Sunday morning. Church much larger than this one, much larger than this one that I had grown up in. It didn't start large. It started with 100 people, and in a very short period of time, it was. You know, started after World War II. Guys came home and they got saved and they started churches and in the Midwest in Canton, Ohio. And the church grew rapidly. And it was a good church, good Bible-believing church. They preached the Word of God. They won people to Jesus Christ. But that Sunday morning, I did like I always did. I walked into the church and Deborah had Nathan, our firstborn. He was just a month old. And she had him in the nursery and I was standing there all by myself. Sitting there all by myself in a pew, and there was probably a couple thousand people in that main auditorium at least. And a faithful man from down Pensacola, Florida, they used to have him a lot. He came there and preached, and he preached, but that morning was different. That morning was different because I sat there, and then I stood there as the invitation was given, and. Man did what I'm going to do. He just preached his heart out, and he just used the Bible, and he wasn't flowery. He just was a matter-of-fact type of guy. But you know what? He gave me the truth that morning, and thank you, Lord, it is on. Glory to God. And the Spirit of God got a hold of my, the soil of my heart must have been good at that morning, because for 17 years it wasn't good. So you may be here from day one, and the soil of your heart this morning may just be good this morning. So I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Did I tell you that already? Maybe I didn't. Isaiah chapter 53. I always get nervous when the guys come to the pulpit because I think they're going to yank me out of it. and you better send more than one guy, by the way. Just to let you know up front, guys, you better come with at least two or three. You got my back, brother? Some of you guys got my back? And pastor would say, just throw him out of it. I don't care. Just throw him out. But no. So I always get a little... In the early days of First Bible Church, you have to understand something. We came from, we were kind of military-minded. And Mel Sabaka used to position, you know, I sat back there and Joe Silvestri sat here and Dan Sabaka sat up here. And the reason why he did that was just for one reason. He told us right up front, if anybody charges the pulpit, you got to charge with him. Okay. You take that person down. And we had a woman one night do that. She was a little deranged. And she came with her hand up like this. And I wasn't looking real well to see whether she had the knife or not. But her hand was up like this, and three of us tackled her before she ever got to the pulpit. So that's the kind of Christianity I was raised on, by the way. So you have to kind of understand my background, all right? But I've got you in Isaiah chapter 53. In my studies, I came across something that reminded me of how I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And once again, that morning, 45 years ago, Easter Sunday morning, I trusted. I know the word surrender is not in the Bible, but you know what I did? I surrendered. I gave up running. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to just ask you to listen. And I'm going to read something I'm going to read you about two men that found what they came to church for. All right. Now, here's what I'm going to do before I even get into it. If you've got a cell phone, I am so easily distracted, and maybe your next door neighbor is too. Would you do God a favor today and just turn your cell phone off? And if the baby starts to cry, we love babies, you know we do. But if it starts to cry, just take it out in the hallway and calm it down and come on back in, all right? But you know, because people, I'm very easily distracted, and you're probably the same way that I am, all right? So just let's give God a chance today, all right? It's not me. Let's give God a chance. But anyhow, guy named Jim Black. Jim Black went to church one Sunday morning, and he heard the pianist miss a note during the prelude, and he winced. And he saw a teenager talking when everybody was supposed to be bowed in silent prayer. He felt like the usher was watching to see what he put into the offering plate. It made him mad. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue five times in the message by actual count. And as he slipped out through the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again. What a bunch of clods and hypocrites." But there was another man named Ron White. Ron White went to church one morning, same church, by the way. He heard the pianist play an arrangement of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And he thrilled to the majesty of hearing it. He heard a young girl take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference her faith has made in her life. He was glad to see that his church was sharing some special offering money with some families in an African country. He especially appreciated the message that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought as he walked out the door of the church, "How can a man come here and not feel the presence of God?" Both men went to the same church on the same Sunday morning. Each found what he was looking for. I'm going to tell you right up front, you're not going to hear a good message. I'm not a good preacher. I don't have any problem with it. I don't have the skills to do hardly anything, and that doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me. This isn't about me. And this isn't about how good I preach. Or this isn't about how good a little girl sings. Or pianist or guitarist play. It's about you. You're going to go out of here with just what you came for. If you came in here with Jesus Christ and you want to know more about Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you're going to go out with Jesus Christ. If you came in here with a begrudging attitude and, "Oh man, I had to come, you know, blah, 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 blah," you'll go out that way. So it's all up to you today. See, this isn't even up to me. And you know the both of us and our men. We don't get sermons out of a can. You can ask my wife. I spend hours and hours reading, praying, thinking, praying, meditating, reading more, begging God, "Lord, open my eyes that I might see something. I want to feed. I have the privilege of feeding your people this morning." You can't give them canned soup. They deserve a good meal. They came. They're hungry. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, we know from being saved, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not so much the resurrection, perhaps, but at least the crucifixion. I got something in the mail before we read it, and we're going to read it all because I want to capitalize on two words. And they're not new words, but I want to capitalize this morning on two words. Out of all those, what is it, 12 verses. I got something in the mail. And some young men and women were over in Brooklyn. And they were passing out literature in the Jewish neighborhoods. Which you take your life in your hands if you do that. But they were doing it. Bold as a lion. But as I read this, I thought, how appropriate. Because God had been moving me toward Isaiah 53, and I wanted to add some things that I had said 2 weeks ago. But it shows a picture of a young man passing out tracts to a Hasidic Jew neighborhood. His name was Jeff. Jeff handed a tract to the Orthodox man walking down the street one afternoon in Brooklyn. written on the piece of paper was nothing more than the text of Isaiah 53. And as the man crossed the street, he read the text, and Jeff watched as the man grew angry, swiftly turned around and marched back toward him. Uh-oh. Convinced the verses were describing Jesus, the Orthodox man shouted at Jeff, "This is a Christian document!" Jeff replied, "Yes, it is. So what is it doing stuck in the middle of your Tanakh? What's it doing in the middle of your Old Testament, my Jewish friend? You know what God has done as you read your Bible? Everything you read in that Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Everything you read in the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That's why you have to read your whole Bible. You have to read a little more than Proverbs. It's all good. Proverbs is wonderful. You have to read a little more than Psalms. Oh man, Psalms is a good one. Like the heart right there. But there's a few other books beside that. And all of a sudden, you're going to see Jesus Christ just come real. Isaiah chapter 53. Before we read, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, again this morning, you've given us this blessed privilege of meeting together as your bride, as your body, this local church that you've given to us. What a blessing it has been to see 40 years happen. And Father, we want to thank you. It's all simply of your goodness, your grace, your doing, your enablement. Lord, I want to thank you. 45 years ago, I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a preacher. I wasn't even saved. And I walked into church, and a man who was kind of rough-hewn, had a very matter-of-fact personality, but he was honest with the Scriptures. He loved the book, he loved Jesus Christ, and he loved people. And he did his best, Lord. And God, you did your very best, and you saved me. And now I stand here as a pastor, a preacher, and I'm going to try to do my best, Father. But if you don't break up soil and if you don't draw, Lord, nothing will happen. So, Father, I want to thank you just for this privilege. The world calls it Easter Sunday. We know it to be Resurrection Sunday. I mean, it's every day. My brother already said that. Lord, I want to ask you just to do something that I can't do. Open hearts. Open eyes, open minds, open hearts. May this just not be a Sunday where we went to church. I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. I want to thank you for the Scriptures that open eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. I need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll permit me to read all 12 verses. Isaiah is a prophet, and Israel, and they're split up now, Israel and Judah, the tribes, but they're just about ready to go into captivity. It's somewhere around, let's say, 712 B.C., and they're about ready to go into 606, they go into Babylonian captivity. So he's preparing Israel. Israel's in a bad way, by the way. And we're going to look at that, God willing. Israel's in a bad way. Israel, who had God, has walked away from God. But right in the middle of Isaiah chapter, the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, representing your 66 books in your Bible. And we've often taught you this. You go to chapter 40, that would be a type of the book of Matthew. All right. The 40th book in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, the 40th would be the book of Matthew. And it's amazing when you get to the 40th chapter, he talks about John the Baptist, he talks about the Holy Spirit of God, all right? So what you have is you have a microcosm, if I could say it that way. You have a little book, Eli and I had this talk. You have a little book inside of another book. You have the whole Bible stretched out. Now you get to Isaiah chapter 53, And he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And that question, once again, he's not writing to the Gentiles here. He's not writing to the church. He's writing to Israel. But may I say this to you this morning? Who hath believed our report? 10,000 minimum sermons, messages preached here in 40 years? I bet you you've heard it on the radio. You might have a loved one or family member or whatever, neighbor, that is witness to you. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Because you're not going to get away from Him. We sang about it. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. You're not, you may disregard Him now. You say, I don't believe He's the Savior. You know what Paul wrote in Timothy? He said, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. So just because you don't believe this morning, or the world mocks that Jesus Christ is the Savior and doesn't want to believe it and doesn't want to accept it, that does not erase the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Amen. Who hath believed our report? To whom have the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. If I could just stop right there. The pictures you see of Jesus Christ that look, he's got long brown hair, and they're mostly done in the Renaissance period painters. And he's either got a halo around his head, or he's got some type of heart in the middle of his body. All those pictures are not the way the Bible depicts him. He was the son of a carpenter. Joseph was not his physical father. We know that. But that's what everybody around him knew. He was the son of the carpenter. So I would imagine the boy grew up knowing something about sawing a piece of wood. All right. Because that's what families, they stayed together. You wouldn't have recognized, if Jesus Christ had walked into this room, truth be told, you might have not have recognized Him. I like the movies where they show Jesus Christ in the golden chalice. It wasn't a golden chalice, yeah. It was a clay pot. He ate out of clay pots just like you and I do. That's why when you look around here, you're not going to see trappings. Because the more I look at Jesus Christ, the more... Let's continue to read. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid it, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Please, don't let this be something, oh, it's Isaiah 53, we're going to read it again. Don't get that mindset. I beg of you this morning, do not get that mindset. This is the heart of God. This is His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a couple, two words. I'm going to get to them, God willing. This is what church is supposed to be all about. Not the trappings. I can take you a spitting distance down the street and there's a building just full of trappings. Nobody's mentioning much of Jesus Christ. He was wounded, 5, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. So somebody here today would say, oh, I'm not a sinner. No, my Bible tells me different. Now, you may not have murdered anybody, at least with an implement of something. I can tell you for sure that when I sit in my kitchen trying to read my Bible And everybody on Sharon Avenue is going, honk, 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 because the light doesn't change fast enough. In my old nature, I want to go out and kill somebody. So Debbie hides all the sharp implements. And I don't own any firearms. I gave them all away because I knew I couldn't keep them in New York City. All right, so gave them all away. Gave them to my boys. All right, now my grandbabies have them. So don't mess around with my grandbabies, all right? He was, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, look what it says here. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know what there is in theology? There's a thing called replacement theology. You know what Israel did? You know what Adam did? Do you know what we have done prior to coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We have replaced God with other things. We've replaced him with buildings. We've replaced him with business. I know one story in the book of Luke, I think it's chapter 14, man was invited to a dinner, and everybody started to make an excuse. Well, I bought a cow, and I haven't done this, and I bought a piece of land, and I haven't looked at it. Who buys a piece of land without looking at it? I got a bridge I want to sell you. Then a man says, oh, I got married, and you know I can't come. So you know what we've done? We've replaced God with all kinds of things. That's not what we're going to do around here. God takes the preeminence. When my pastor, myself, any of our men get in this pulpit, it's about God. We are going, the reason I stay with this Bible, I'll speak just my, the reason we stay with this Bible is because we are going to take God's side. We are going to take God's position. This is why we don't have 10,000 in Sunday school here. Because I can take it to churches just within a short distance, and guess what? They want to minister to you. I'm not necessarily wanting to minister to you this morning, even though I'm going to. I want to make God happy. Amen. I want God to look down and say, oh, I remember when he was lost. Now he preaches about me when he used to mock me. When he used to, you know, make funny jokes, God damn this and God damn that, Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, and it used to roll off my tongue. Then all of a sudden God changed me. And now those words just, they won't come out that way anymore. You're not damning God. And when Jesus Christ rolls off your lips, it's an utter praise. And the way I'm hardwired, 9 times out of 10, the old tears are going to start flowing. Because I remember what it was like to be lost. And I'm not lost anymore. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, verse 7. And as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Here was the Son of God. Here was God himself hanging on that cross when those soldiers and all those Pharisees and Sadducees and whoever around him was saying, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. Do you realize he could have called a minimum of 10,000 angels? He didn't even need to call 10,000 angels. He didn't even need to go to that cross. But he did. I want to talk about the love of God today, man. Verse number 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, Joseph of Arimathea that day. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet they crucified him. What did they find out that he did wrong? Nothing. Nothing. If I would have taken my grandson and my daughter-in-law and some of your loved ones to Jesus that day, way back when, you know what Jesus would have done? He'd have put his hand and said, be healed. And my grandson, who now is a cancer survivor, and my daughter-in-law, who's a cancer survivor, they would have walked away cancer-free without any chemotherapy. Amen. without any hospital. He walked the dead people and brought them back to life. He took eyes that were blind and made them see. He took a maniac just like me in the tombs with chains and breaking the chains and hurting people and put that man back in his right mind. Amen. Put some clothes on him because he was naked. And then they crucified him. And for 20 years I mocked him. I mocked him. Oh, I went to Baptist church. I went to a church just like this, only much bigger. Just like this, though. People would sing. I mean, they'd get happy. They'd get happy, man. They got a little more polished as time went on. But you know, it was a good church. And I sat in the pew just like you do. And I mocked him. And I mocked him. And I walked out lost. What'd you come to church for today? Please a family member? Good. I want you to please a family member. Good to please people. We're gonna read something here in a moment. You know what relationships are all about? Pleasing one another. Yeah, they are. Satisfy. I just gave you the two words right there. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 10. Now all this has happened. He's been nailed to that cross. And verse number 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, we need to find out what pleases God. Do you know what pleases God? One thing, Jesus Christ. You need to find Jesus Christ. Religion, that wasn't religion nailed to that cross. And that wasn't, I'm not picking fights, I'm reading my Bible. You know, I didn't write it, folks, I just read it. Mary wasn't hanging on that cross. Joseph wasn't hanging on that cross. All the saints from yonder to present, future, all the popes, all the priests, all the rabbis, all the preachers, all the pastors were not hanging on that cross. It was Jesus Christ. And you know what God was, my Bible tells me? It says He was pleased. How dare you and I not be pleased with Jesus Christ? How dare you and I suck up to religion, suck up to something else, suck up to a bottle, suck up to some drugs, suck up to this, suck up to that, because we feel empty when God was pleased with Jesus Christ. You want to walk out here pleasing God? You better receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I got it tomorrow. Don't bet on it. You know that. Come on now. Come on, you know you don't have any bet on any surety of it tomorrow. Then it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Verse 10, He hath put him to grief. Look what the Father did for us. He hath put him to grief. The Father put His Son to grief. I don't like my boys grieving. I don't like people grieving. I'm not going to. I do my best not to put you to grief. You know what the Father deliberately did so that you and I could be free? He put His own Son to grief. He grieved His own Son so that you and I could be free. I know I walked away from Him for 20 years, 17 actually, or from the time I could understand it, I don't know, 5, 7, I don't know. But once I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that as the years ticked by, 45 years ticks by and I'm standing in this pulpit. You know what? It just amazes me. Why can't people see Jesus Christ? He's so wonderful. He's so lovely. He's so kind. You know, He's never harmed me once. Then people get saved and they just, I don't know, they just, we may get to that point. So God's pleased. Thou shalt make Now watch what is going to continue. Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. His soul an offering for sin. We get stuck on the body, and yes, there was the body hanging on that cross. But you know what went to hell? The body went into the tomb. His spirit and His soul went to hell. For you and I. See, you're a living soul. Even in the maritime industry, even when you talk about people on planes, It'll talk about there's 50 souls on that plane. 50 souls. What are you doing with your soul today? I took a shower this morning. You may not be able to tell it, but I did. I took a shower, I shaved my head, shaved my face, and put my clothes on. I got clean. I took care of my body. But that means nothing to God. Really, truthfully. I may appreciate you using deodorant, but it doesn't win, praise, or show with God. What do you do with your soul? Your soul is what's going to live forever. It'll either live with Jesus Christ, and I know you don't like to hear this, some people. Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. This thing's winding down. It's going to end very, very quickly. Keep your eye on the Middle East. Keep reading your Bible. You can see it happen right in front of your eyes. How's it with your soul today? Quit playing games. I don't have the polish of some speaker, but I'll tell you what I do have to give you, and I have Jesus Christ. And for 45 years, He's been my God, my Savior, my friend, my counselor, my confidant. He's been that wing that I constantly go under and say, Father, what are we doing today? This is not the way I thought it was going to go. And Father says, don't worry about it. Just stay under my wing. You know that bumper sticker that I don't like. God's not my co-pilot. God owns the plane, the airline, the air, and everything else. So I don't relegate Him to a demeaning position of co-pilot. God's not my co-pilot. Okay. So if you've got on your bumper that on your car, you might want to try blacking that out when I walk behind your car, all right? Made His grave with the wicked, all right? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him in 10. He hath put Him to grief when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. So God the Father made the Son's soul an offering for sin. Ye shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Now watch verse number 11. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. God was pleased and satisfied with Jesus Christ. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Many, many things I say here, but we're not going to do it this morning. Because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many. Don't be afraid of that word many. You get over in the book of Romans and Paul writes many and all as if they're synonymous. And He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The key to this life, in my humble opinion this morning, is to find out what pleases and satisfies Almighty God. Can I just take you to Psalm? Now let's just leave Isaiah for time here. Can I just take you, go back to Psalm, let's start with 103. Psalm 103. The key in any relationship, my brother Pat said it this morning, he always does. And you know what? I want to say, Pat Mashanya, you're a stinking copycat. That's how you do it. I love this place. It's fun. It's fun. It's just fun. See, some of you think that Christianity is stale. Blah. Give me the bottle of a vodka bottle. What the heck, you nuts? Vodka. I got fresh water that you've never even tasted of. Go to Psalm 103, 5. Psalm 103, verse 5. In any relationship, my wife and I have been married 47, something like that. I think it's 47. 47 years. And she's been wonderful ever since day one, and I've been in a problem. But So God's had to work on me a long time and still working on me. And I'm finally getting the hang of it and probably die tomorrow. So, you know, at least I got the hang of it before I died, you know. But, you know, I'm a slow learner. I told you, I'm a slow learner. I'm a very slow learner. But, you know, I've found out one of the keys to a good relationship. Find out what pleases the person, you know. She doesn't care about a dozen roses. Bring her one rose. I still have a dead rose from Valentine's Day. I told her, is she looking at me? I told her to take that rose. I said to her the other day, I said, baby, this rose has been dead for 3 months. She says, no, you let it alone. Okay. Back the horse up. You know what pleases her? You buy her one rose. You know what pleases her? Take a card out and just gush on her a little bit. Thank you, brother. Eli fixed we got a dishwasher. I've had it for a long time, never hooked a thing up. Eli came in the other day and said, let me hook up your dishwasher. So now I can't neck in front of the sink. I can still neck in front of the sink, but I won't do dishes. But you know what you do? Find out what pleases. You know what pleases the relationship between you and God? His Son, Jesus Christ. A relationship is find out what pleases the other person. Find out what satisfies. Doesn't have to be big stuff. If your wife likes, my wife likes flowers occasionally, you know, women, you know, I don't understand all of it, but. And if your wife likes expensive jewelry, then you need to get a second job. What can I tell you? You need to sit her down and say, you know, baby, you know, we got Volkswagen money and we can't, you know, drive Cadillacs, okay? We have Volkswagen money. But, you know, find out what they like. Find out what pleases God. Because I can take you right down the street and I can tell you they got a whole different idea of what pleases God. And I'm not being critical. I'm just reading my Bible. See, people get mad because people read their Bible. And it's like, why are you mad at me? Just read your Bible. Psalm 106, or 103, excuse me. Let me just read the first several verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. I'm Psalm 103, reading verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Oh, I like that one. I like it all. He not only saved me, but He redeemed my life from destruction. You know, I had a life to live. I mean, that happened when I was 20, when He redeemed my soul. I'm 65 now. It's like, man, I've been a 40, but you know what? He redeemed my life. Who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, this is what God does, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. You see, if you get close to God, you know what you're going to find out? He satisfies you. How about Psalm? Go to 105 with me. 105 and verse 40. Find out what pleases and satisfies God today. That's all I want you to see. I'm going to give you a few things along the way. But God was pleased, He said, and He was satisfied. Pastor Mike, we got the money, came and we saved it, and it came in, and we paid off a debt. But you know, somewhere in the writing, I know I've got a letter in my safe box at home when I sold the house in North Carolina after 3 years of trying to sell it and finally sold. But I got a letter from U.S. Bank. And one of the things that they said, as of this date, you, Pat L. Dean and Deborah K. Dean, in the amount of blah, 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 have satisfied loan number and the number. Do you know what they're saying? Something got paid in full. Do you realize Jesus Christ paid my debt in full? God got satisfied. God was satisfied. There was nothing else to satisfy. All of those Old Testament sacrifices, they never really satisfied God because they had to do it over and over and over and over. That's what religion has to do. Over and over and over. That's why in the Old Testament it says they were covered. But now you get John the Baptist looking at his cousin Jesus Christ, and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away
God finally got satisfied because the debt was completely paid in full. Therefore, I don't have to mess around with this, that, next, that, then. I can sit in my bedroom in my chair and in truth and in spirit in this book and read and pray and study and get right into the Holy of Holies. That's why we don't have all this clapping, claptrap around here, whatever I call it. Trappings. What have I had? I've got you 105. Look at verse number 40. I hope I got the right one. Yeah, okay. Now, we're not going to read it all, but if you just... this is talking about Egypt. And if you just go to 36, talking about he smote also all the firstborn in the land. That's talking about Egypt. And the chief in all their strength. 37 of 105 says, and he brought them forth also with silver and gold. So they came out with, and if you read Exodus, they came out with a lot of stuff. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad. I always laugh when I read this. Egypt was glad when they departed. Okay. Of course, they had second thoughts on that, and they realized they had lost their workforce, and they went after them. But initially, they were glad, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. Okay, so now you got the tabernacle, and now you've got the separation between Egypt and the children of Israel as they're going into the promised land, crossing the Red Sea. Okay, you got a cloud, and you got the cloud by day and a light by night over that Ark of the Covenant. And verse number 40 says, the people asked, and he brought quails. Okay, so he gave them manna, but they got hungry for some meat, and they got a little murmuring and all that. People asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Satisfied them. Look at, just for the sake of doing it, look at Psalm 107. We're in that vicinity. Go to Psalm 107 and verse 9. Do you know some of our people, some of you today, I mean, I could say the world, but I've got you in my line of vision here. Some of us are not satisfied. I can guarantee you. Don't think you're lying to anybody. I had a brand new apartment, brand new wife, brand new baby boy, brand new car, brand new 1968 Plymouth Roadrunner, 383, 335 horse. I could tell you, that car is still in my mind. I had it all. Had a good job. Had a job where the benefits covered not only my wife and I, but my parents. And my dad didn't even work there. That was called the Timken Roller Bearing Company. It's called the Timken Company now. Everything has at least one tapered roller bearing in it that came out of that company. I worked in that company. I had it made. But you want to know something? Don't you lie. Don't you think you're lying to me? Because you're not. Some of us weren't born under a rock. You're not satisfied without Jesus Christ. You're just not. Come on. Stop lying. Come on. Let's stop lying to each other. And let's stop lying to God. You know why people don't like this place? Because it's kind of... We read the book, and the book's convicting. It just is. It's bittersweet. I read one page and like... Oh God. And I flip the page, it's like... Oh, it's like honey. I don't want to go back to that page, but I have to read it, you know? You know what? Nothing satisfies besides Jesus Christ. See, it's good to get old. You know why? Because when I was 20, I couldn't say those things and get away with it because some old-timer would say, ah, kid, you're only 20. I'm 65, you're only 20. What the heck do you know? He wouldn't say heck, but what the H do you know? But now, I'm not the kid anymore. And you want to know something? I know for sure. Young people, you listen to me. Nothing satisfies but Jesus Christ. I've done everything you've done. Take it times 100. Tasted it, touched it, felt it, drank it, smoked it, whatever you want to call it, okay? And nothing has satisfied me for 45 years besides Jesus Christ. 107. Did I read? No, I didn't. 107. I'll just read 7. I'll read 8. 9 verses, okay, quickly. 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you know our singing around here makes some people uncomfortable? Don't get uncomfortable. You know what? I watched 2 basketball games the other day. I watched Duke win, and I watched Wisconsin win. Now, I don't even like college basketball, and I certainly didn't have any money on it. But, man, I was rooting for both of them. And I watched my TV, and those stadiums are packed. And you know what? They weren't sitting there going, oh, yay. Come on, Duke. Oh, look at Wisconsin. Come on. Just relax. Come on, let your hair down a little bit. Jesus Christ. I read this book. This is a noisy book. This is a book full of problems. This is a book where people are crying. People are shouting. People are happy. People are sad. This is real. You know what religion is? It's not real. It's just not real. That's why I don't want it. Because it's not real. Let me go read. Verse 3, 107. Gather them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul faint. They're not in a good way here. Then 6 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, man, it's going to get better here. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Notice they didn't have to put a written document in and have some subordinate to say, okay, I'll give it to God. You know, there's a religion that says that God's so busy that you have to go through his mother. Let me just give you a clue on something. You got a problem with me, don't go to him. You got a problem with him, don't come to me. You got a problem with me, don't go to my wife. You got a problem with my wife, just don't mess around, okay? Do you know how I got saved? I stood there. I didn't even kneel. I didn't go down to an altar. They played Just As I Am about 40 times. You know, good Baptist, you know how that goes. Yeah, you know, a bunch of good Baptist people. Good people. You know, we came from that. Good people. We love the Lord. Most of them. Some of them. Okay. A few of them. Okay. Yes. I stood there. And that old preacher got in the book of Romans chapter 2 and quoted part of a verse that says, it's the goodness of God that leadeth a man to repentance. And those handful of verses, about 10 or 11 of them, I don't know what it is. Just a handful. Wasn't even the whole verse. And God said, you know what, buddy? Today's your day. Today's your day. Don't be proud. And don't think you're going to run from me. Today's your day. You didn't die in Vietnam. You didn't even have to go. I got drafted and they found sugar in my blood and just decided... guys were going in there with one eye out, the trigger finger missing. And out of the blue, I get too much sugar in my blood. Do you know why God did that? Because he said, I'm going to take you out of one army because you probably die in that army and go to hell. And I'm going to save you and put you in another army. I'll make you a soldier in my army. You want to be a soldier? I'll make you a soldier. So I'm standing there and God says, you know what, that was strike one. That's strike one. Remember that car accident you got into? And that's when cars are made out of steel and the girl ran the red light and broke that car right in half and tore the motor completely off the motor mounts and the motor was over here and the car was over here and mailboxes were there and people flying all over the place and there's no seatbelts. And you get your ribs crushed and all that kind of stuff and your muscles are so contracted that you couldn't even sign the papers that they... He said... You remember that, Brother Pat? Remember that, Pat? I said, yes, God, I remember that. He said, that's strike two. He He said, you're on strike three and you're out, son. You see, you think God's going to keep coming back and back, because that's how we portray this. God's not obligated to do that. God's not obligated. You need to get saved now. Now. Because you're on strike three. Many of us. Strike three, and then you're out. Let's go back and read. They cried unto the Lord. Okay, in verse number 7, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of a habitation. 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For look what it says, for he satisfieth the longing soul. I'd lay my head on that pillow at night, having everything, my own level of comfort. But you want to know something? I was lost and I knew it. I was lost. And I've spoken to some of you. You knew you were lost. Do you know why you're here today? You're here to get found. You're here to walk out. Some of you walked in lost. You don't need to walk out lost. You can walk out found. And it's not going to cost you anything. The debt's already been paid. God was pleased and satisfied with the one who paid the debt. And he paid it in full. And he took his own blood with his own eternal pen and signed the bottom of the contract. And then he said, you know what I'm going to do? See that line there? I'm going to put Pat, P-A-T, Lewis, L-O-U-I-S, Dean, D-E-A-N. And you know what? My name's been there for 45 years. And I just went to church that morning. And God got a hold of my heart. Things that please God. Oh, I'm doing good. Glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter, we read 53:10. All right, so we know that Jesus Christ is satisfied with his son. How about Isaiah 55:11? Isaiah 55:11. So God's satisfied with his son. Didn't say he was satisfied with anything else. He was satisfied with his son. He was pleased with his son. You know how many times, I think it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was at the baptism of Jesus Christ, where a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You get close to Jesus Christ, God's pleased. But we're going to look, God willing, at a few things, because you know what happens? We get saved, then we figure, I don't need Jesus anymore. We'll talk about that maybe. Go to Isaiah 55:11. We've already found out in Isaiah 53:10 that he's pleased and satisfied with his son. That should be kind of an obvious. But look at Isaiah 55:11. I'll get there. You're there. I'll get there. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Do you know what pleases God? That book you've got in your hands. That Bible you've got in your hands, that pleases God. You see that thing over there? I mean, you know what all that is right there? That's the pleasure of God. There's a couple, the Scroys, Matt and T and the boys, on their way to Miami, Florida, with a pickup truck with 4,000 pounds of French Bibles in it, New Testaments or John or Romans. And you know what? It's going to take them a while, and we need to pray for them. Don't forget them, okay? It's a long haul, and I don't know, Jimmy Scroy, you got to be nuts to let them take your truck. But anyhow, that's a different message at a different time, all right? But you know what? Why do we... Because that's, you know what pleases God? Jesus Christ and his word. That's what pleases God. That's what pleases God. We may paint, we're going to have an anniversary. We may paint the walls. And I'm going to be happy. As long as they're not black or purple, I'll probably be okay with it. But you know what? That doesn't win place or show on the meter of God. It dearly doesn't. We might do something with this carpet. It's pretty worn. It's been 20-some years. But you know, that doesn't win. None of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom. The word of God. How many times have I said this? We've said it. You know, there's only two eternal things. Two eternal things. The Word of God, that's really Jesus Christ on page. And the soul, your soul's going to live eternally. It's going to live eternally. Those are the only two eternal things. If the trumpet sounds, guess what? They can have the parking lot, they can have the building, they can have 1725 Sherrod Avenue. Well, we don't really care. Whoever takes it, have at it, man. You know, you want some of my cheap antiques, you can have them too. All right. You know, God's interested in, God's pleased with His Word. How about, go to John chapter 8 with me. Go get out. We're making halfway decent time. Go to John chapter 8. Let me show you another thing that pleases God. Go to John chapter 8. Jesus Christ actually said this. It wasn't one of the other writers. Wasn't an apostle repeating something that Jesus Christ... This was Jesus Christ Himself. Go to John chapter 8 and look at verse number 20. John chapter 8, Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I'm just going to start reading around verse 20. And I think I'm going to read down through 29 very quickly. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will He kill Himself, because He saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Watch this. Ye shall die in your sins. Why? For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So Jesus Christ is pretty important this morning, folks. Then said they unto Him, verse 25, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Watch, we're getting close to it. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Do you know what pleases the Father? Same thing that pleases you as a parent. What do you see there? Obedience. My son Matthew jokingly, when we were together down south, had a birthday. And he sent me a card, said some nice things in the card. But the front of the card just said this, because I said so. How many times have you said that to your kids? Or your grandchildren? No, stop. You're 2 and I'm 50. Stop. You know, I mean, I've done that sometimes. Stop. You know, it's like, stop. You're 5. I'm 55. Because I said so. You know what Jesus was? Jesus was obedient. You know what pleases God? Obedience. John chapter 6, we won't have to turn there. Well, matter of fact, you're in John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 6 with me. We're in a close environment here. Go to John chapter 6. We're talking about obedience. So what do I have to do? I mean, you just told me I've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like anything. The Son, Jesus Christ, pleases God, satisfies God. His own Word, Isaiah 55:11, it accomplishes what He pleases. Let's find out in this relationship of you and of you to God, me to God, God to us, what pleases God. Because once again, I'm going to take God's position. Because if I tell you what pleases me, truth be told, my old flesh, you know, somebody says, well, you know, sometimes guys, they like to vicariously experience their past. So when they preach, they start to gush on what they did. prior to being saved. Do you know in the book of Ephesians it says it's a shame to speak of those things that are done in darkness? I don't want you to know anything I did in the period of time I was lost. I don't want you, I'm not going to tell you. You don't need to know, man. God knows it. I know it. There's things my wife doesn't even know, and she doesn't need to know because it's the past. It's when I was lost as a lost teenager who was wild as wild could be. Look at John chapter 6. Talk about obedience. There's some men. Verse 27 says, labor not, John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So you're talking about some meat here, okay? Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Okay, you want to be religious? You want to work your way to heaven? You want to be religious this morning? You want something to do? You know? Hail Mary, full of grace, shut your mouth and feed your face. Say, it's 12. I went to a funeral one time, stood behind a guy, and bless his heart. And you know how you go through the prayers? And I'm standing behind, no, I'm not, I would, you know, I'm a saved man, I'm not Catholic, but I went to the funeral. And I'm standing behind him, and he's starting out okay, and then all of a sudden he's going, boom, 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 boom. I thought, what's that all about? And I'm listening. I'm trying to figure out, has he got a speech impediment? He didn't even know what he was saying. Truth be told, he's a good Catholic. He didn't know what he was saying. Now, it could be anything. I was a good Baptist. You say, you're saying something about... No, I was a good Baptist. Let me tell you what. Big thing was building. Big thing was putting butts in seats. Big thing was, it was like the show, man, the show. The bigger the show, the more it's of God. I just didn't find that in the Bible anywhere. So it's got nothing to do with it. Look at verse 29. Jesus tells them what to do. You want to work the works of God? You want something to do today? Look at 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. There's the work of God. Can I take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to make an admission this morning. What I'm doing is, hang on a minute. What I'm doing is supposedly something close to preaching. Something close to it. But we get up here and we preach and we teach. And I say to myself sometimes, this is nuts. This is just, you know, God uses this. He entrusted saved men with the truth. Now, if it had been me, and I'm not trying to be bigger than God, I'd have given the truth to angels and said, you know, you're a lot better than these saved people down here. So let's just go, you take the truth. But you know what pleases God? This thing right here. When you go out, preaching takes a lot of different forms. Okay, it's not always a verbal thing. It can be passing out a tract. It's talking, just talking to people. Look at 21. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now remember, the Corinthians are they're a bunch of wise, you know, saved people, but they're full of wisdom. All right. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Jews require a sign. The scriptures would tell us. But in 21, he says he's trying to get these Corinthian believers back on track because there's so many schisms over there around verses 11, 12. They're divided. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. And you know they're just all over the doctrinal map, and they're just all over the place. 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So now you got this, the wisdom of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, is God wise? Yeah, you better believe it. But the world also has its own wisdom. So it's this thing that's always in conflict. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. Which one shall I choose today? But he says, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know what God, solution to this thing was? He said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What I'm doing today, I even think it's foolishness. Because it's like, wait a minute, I can take this book and preach this book and God will save people? Yeah. 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 You could take this book and you don't even have to preach it. You just need to read it. I've watched people. Mel used to talk about going into in prisons. Before I was saved, you go into prisons. Guys are, wild and woolly. And somebody would start to read the Word of God and the place would calm down. Crazy. This book preached, it's the fully. You know what God's pleased in? God's pleased in what we're doing right here. Preaching. Go to Galatians chapter 1. God's pleased with preaching. So he's pleased with his son, he's pleased with his word, he's pleased with obedience, he's pleased with preaching. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now I skipped one deliberately, just for time. But you know in Ezekiel 18 and in Ezekiel 33, it says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God isn't pleased when somebody dies outside of Jesus Christ. He's not pleased. He's not pleased at all. That's why he has the foolishness of preaching. That's why he's left believers here. So that's why he entrusted to us what he didn't entrust to angels. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I think I want verse 15. Now Paul comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul, this Pharisee, this Hebrew of the Hebrews, this member of the Sanhedrin, this man of the tribe of Benjamin, and he is the one who held the clothes when the men stoned with stones the deacon Stephen. So he's been a murderer. He has hailed men and women and children to the authorities. He's imprisoned people. This man was a zealot. Now he comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9. And now he's writing all of these epistles. And he says in verse number 15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and the story goes on. Do you know what pleases God? If you would get saved today, it would please God. It would please God. His son pleases him. His word pleases him. Obedience pleases him. What must I do to work the works of God? This is the work of God. That ye believe on him whom he has sent. Preaching. I'd be honest with you. I think sometimes preaching is, I love it. Love to hear it. Love to do it. But sometimes at the end of the day I say, it just doesn't seem like enough. Yeah. God says, no, I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased when somebody who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm pleased when the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm pleased. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he also tells me, in Galatians 1:15, it pleased God to save him. I'm not going to go any farther this morning. I actually have three more points. I did something a while ago. And the only reason I did it is because it actually spoke to me. So close your Bibles. I'll give you that option. Close your Bibles right now. Zip them up. Because I'm going to close. But I'm going to close with something that I want you to hear. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. You see, folks, I remember a time